This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
That is the sound of snoring. And that is the sound of sleep apnea. Every night, millions of people stop breathing for more than 10 seconds for 10, 20, 30, even 80 times per hour while they sleep. And that's dangerous. If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, art of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank.
Hello, hello. This is Frank coming at you again with another episode of Trenton Waves. Want to thank all the listeners who've been tuning in, checking it out. We know you've been enjoying it. We love the comments. Keep them coming. And also, you can visit us on TrentonWaves.com. I'm here with a guy. Let me tell you, just talking to him, I've known him for a couple of years, but just talking to him now, I've learned like five things about him that I didn't know. And that's the beauty of this show. Every time I sit down with somebody that I think I know, I wind up realizing I really don't know them. Or at least I know too much about them. I'm sitting here with Andrew O'Connor, owner of O'Connor Painting and Restoration. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Frank.
Looking good, man.
Thank you.
You been working out? No.
Actually, actually, it's funny that you should say that. Just this past year, I lost about 20 pounds.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing what?
Really boring stuff, eating less, exercising more.
Well, you know, you talk about eating less. They say that... Really, the best workout you can do is what you put in your mouth.
I was just getting too fat, basically.
Okay.
Even my fat clothes were tight.
No, oh, that's not good.
Get to that point, yeah.
Yeah, when your fat pants are tight, there's an issue.
Yeah, there's an issue. So I'm fitting back into clothes again and feeling much better. So.
Well, you know, you said you wanted to expand. I thought you meant your business, but you're not originally from Trenton.
No, I grew up in Princeton Township. I started my career in Manhattan, commuted from there until I found an apartment in the city. I lived in three different places in the city over a course of 13 years. I had been commuting, and one of the women that was leaving the company I was working at, she said, "Does anybody want my apartment?"
Wow!
And I said, "How much is it?" And it was, I think she said it was
$430. $430 in New York?
Well, this was during the Civil War.
Okay, during the Civil War, right, okay, when prices were much more affordable.
1977.
77, okay.
Yeah, and so I said, sure. So I took it sight unseen, but it was a terrible walk-up flat on 77th and 1st Avenue, right across from the Green Kitchen Greek Deli, where I spent a lot of time.
Of course.
It was a terrible party. You couldn't really cook. The oven had two settings, cremate and off. And the floors were not level. It was like living on a ship.
Oh, you know? Man.
Yeah. But it was cheap, and I didn't have to commute.
There you go. I'm sure you probably ate a lot of pasta. You know,
yeah.
It's cheap, and a lot of ways you can cook it.
Right,
you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Did they have ramen noodles then? I don't even know.
I think so.
I could totally see you doing that in a place like that.
Yeah.
So then from there, you moved to where?
I bought a condo in Westchester, a small one-bedroom place.
Westchester, New York.
Westchester, New York,
okay.
A town called Fleetwood. It's in Mount Vernon. It's just north of the city, close to the Bronx, really. It's like
the
first or second stop in Westchester. I lived there for a couple of years. I met my wife. At that time, I was working as an art director at McCann Erickson Advertising. And at night, I was recruited, actually, when I was there to teach a course in graphic design and illustration at Parsons.
Really?
My bosses recruited me because they said, you know, you need to get a life. Because all I was doing was working and single. And they said, you know, you should do this. And they recommended me. And I did that for a couple of years. And I met my wife, Katie, there.
You met her at Parsons?
Yep, met her there at the last class.
Right.
We started dating, and we found that we moved back into the city because she didn't want to live in the burbs.
Okay,
at
yeah.
At the time, and so we found a place on the Upper West Side on 88th and West End.
Wow, okay.
Tiny little place, but a major charm.
Yeah, sure.
Exposed brick wall and a fireplace and all that.
So even then, people wanted that urban experience.
Uh-huh.
Even then.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. The exposed brick, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it looked like a lot of places that you'd see here in Trenton. We lived there for a couple of years. And then I got the crazy notion of moving with her out to her part of the country in Seattle.
Seattle?
Seattle, Washington. Yeah, we're a change of pace. You know,
just different. A bit. It's like the other side of the country.
Yeah, well, for me, it was like the other side of the universe, so a completely different world.
But that's interesting. So Seattle.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
before
yeah.
Starbucks.
Starbucks was really getting a lot of momentum at that time. Starbucks started in the early 70s.
In Seattle, though.
Yeah, Pike Place. Market.
That was it, Pike Place.
Yeah, yeah. So we lived out there for a couple of years, and it was a desperate struggle to make ends meet, and I didn't really have a job. It was a colossally stupid thing to do.
Well, that's rough when there's no money coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So after a lot of floundering, I found a job in Portland.
Oh, interesting.
So I was hired as an art director at Columbia Sportswear Company. They make parkas and things like that.
Right.
So I worked as an art director in their in-house creative department there and worked with their local ad agencies, Borders, Perrin, Norander, a very good creative small, like Shiat Day-esque
okay.
kind of shop.
Sure.
And I worked at Columbia for about 4.5 years, something like that. And we lived in Portland. We bought a little bungalow in the southwest corner of the town.
Okay.
Beautiful place, mm-hmm. very livable, very nice, very creative city.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Liked the people I met a lot. But about that time, I started getting really homesick.
Mm.
And folks are getting older and hard to believe, but I missed New Jersey.
Wow.
I was going to a job interview back in New York, and I was out at the Portland airport one morning, and I was waiting at one of those, you know how they have those huts where you congregate,
get
on the bus to go to your
exactly,
terminal.
Sure. Right.
And there were about 3 or 4 couples there, and we were standing, and this was January, standing out there in the cold waiting for the bus, and the extrovert in the group said, so where's everybody going today?
Oh, don't you love those people?
Yeah. So we said, how about you, ma'am? He says, well, my husband and I are going to play golf in Palm Springs. And
right.
Have some fun in the sun for a while. How about you, the next couple? I said, well, we're going to visit our granddaughter in Fort Lauderdale. And how about you? Well, we're going to spend some time in Cabo St. Lucas. And then it got to me. He said, what are you doing? And I had this giant portfolio. He says, well, I'm going on a job interview in New Jersey. And together, Frank, in unison, they all went, oh.
Wow, man.
Yeah, yeah.
No one else got that reaction.
No.
Hmm.
Long story short, I got the job.
Okay. That's some commute you have to make.
I did. I had to commute for a couple of weeks, actually, until I got settled in the job.
Aye, aye.
I worked at a company. I don't think they're still in business. Agency.com. They took Fortune 500 brands that were alive and well in print and television and tried to transition them to the internet.
You know, oh, okay.
Make transactional sites.
Sure, sure. Like landing pages, things like that until they're up and running.
Yeah.
Interesting. What did you do for them?
I was an art director.
You were an art director there too?
I was hired as a creative director.
Okay.
And I did that for about a year and they went under.
Ouch.
Yeah. And
now you're in Jersey.
I was in Jersey. And, but that experience gave me a running start to get another job in the same business. And I got a job doing exactly the same thing for another dot-com company that had just pharmaceutical clients right on Route 1 there in Princeton. But, you know, by then I'd gotten really disillusioned. I kind of was really losing interest in the business.
Really? Wow.
So on the side, I started doing work with my hands, handyman work.
Okay.
Repairs, painting, I built a patio. And
you have a talent for that?
I do. I think I do. I like it. I
think most artists are not good with, like, you know, carpentry and basic, mm-hmm. you know, household needs. I know I'm not. I'm horrible at it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting to meet an artist mm-hmm. who's good at that kind of thing.
I liked it, Frank. I found that the time would pass quickly and you know, I like the tangible results. You know, you see a set of stairs or a porch fence fixed, or a room painted or...
Yeah, there's a beginning and there's an end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes some pride in that. And I found that, maybe I should do this. And,
interesting.
Sort of backed into a career in home improvement that way.
And is that how the restoration started? And...
Yeah. I noticed an ad for a kitchen measurer with Home Depot. I did an interview and I got the job. And at that time, Home Depot had their own in-house group.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a field salesperson. So I'd go out and answer a preset appointment. Customers would call into the store and say, I want a new kitchen. Can you send somebody out?
Sure.
And I would go out and do a floor plan measurement of the whole kitchen or bathroom, bring it back to the store, and the kitchen designer would then work up a drawing on a CAD program.
Right, right.
And then call the customer in and sit with them and design a kitchen. And
they'd prove it, it gets fabricated, the whole thing.
Right.
Then that were you part of the install or no, just measuring?
Just the measurement.
Okay.
But what happened was after 6 months or so of that, the company made a decision from corporate in Atlanta that hiring in-house people was too risky for them because they had a lot of problems with typos and people getting the measurements wrong.
Oh, okay.
The sink base was not 63 inches, it was 36. You know,
that's not good.
Yeah. So, but I liked the freedom of the job because I could set my own schedule and I didn't want to work in the store wear an apron and that stuff. So they said, we like you. You can either come on board and work in the store as a sales associate.
Mm, or
don't let the door hit. Yeah.
So, well, they're giving you a growth opportunity. Leave.
Yeah. Right. Right. There's new horizon for you. It's right over there.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So then how did you then get into, because you own a company that you're not only a painter, but you also do restoration. Which is very cool, because we live in a city that needs restoration.
Yeah.
But this is before you came to Trenton, is that right? Is that when you started
Yes, I was doing that on the side at when I lived in Portland.
Oh, you were doing it even then?
Well, I wasn't doing it as a business. I was just doing it for my
just
own home.
On the side,
on the side, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you're in Jersey now. How did the, after Home Depot, how did the transition happen into business for yourself?
Home Depot gave me 2 days off during the week. And I took them on the weekend. I had the option. And
well, that's rare.
For retail it
is.
But with time off, I was able to do home improvement projects for customers. I started working for people. I would be in their homes doing a measurement, and they'd say, do you know anybody that can fix these shelves or put in crown molding or paint this room? And I'd say, well, you're looking at them right. But I said to them, you have to understand, this is me and has nothing to do with Home Depot. And they said, sure, that's fine. And somehow they found out about it anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure they, much to their chagrin, I would think.
Yeah.
Because they're not making any money on that.
Yeah. So at that point, I cut the ties and made a clean break, and I started doing the work on my own. And I partnered with another guy, a terrific painter, Jonathan Schenck, and we worked together for a while as a team.
I know Jonathan.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah.
Greenleaf Painting.
That's right.
Yes.
If you know him, you know that he used to be a Presbyterian minister.
I did know that too. Yes, I knew that as well.
And he decided to get into the painting business about the same time that I did, but he wanted to call his company Holy Roller.
That's great. And,
I have to say, I advised against it.
It's a cute joke.
Yeah, it was meant as a cute joke, but,
right.
But apparently it attracted the wrong kind of customer.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah. And he decided that he needed to change the name.
Interesting. So, Greenleaf.
Yeah, so he changed it to Greenleaf.
It's like a dentist naming his practice Holy Molar, that kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's funny, but I don't know if it's really going to.
Not the same without a rim shot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But a great guy, and he's still at it, I think. And we used to get together regularly for a cup of coffee and reminisce. And
yeah, John's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy from what I remember. Very, very good guy. Very, what you see is what you get. Very cool. How did you make your journey to Trenton?
Katie and I were living in West Windsor on Scott Avenue, right up from the train.
Wow, talk about suburbs. What happened? She was into the urban thing.
Kids.
Ah.
Yeah. Don't let me forget to talk about kids.
Kids, right.
Right. When we were in, our daughter Emma was born in Seattle. When we were making the transition from Seattle to Portland, then soon after, our son was born 3 years later when we were living in Portland. When we transitioned here, we bought a small house in West Windsor right up from the train. And with you know, a growing family and pets and everything, it just became...
Well, making the trek with a three-year-old cross-country, I mean, it's not like you're going on vacation. You're moving. You're putting down roots.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess because I'd grown up in the area, it was like coming home. So, I, you know, I felt familiar. So that was easy. Made it easier.
I'm still intrigued. West Windsor to Trenton. You don't really hear a story like this.
Well, that's true.
Ever.
Yeah. I remember when we first moved to the city, there was a neighborhood evening out with the mayor showed up at the time, Tony Mack. And he said, "Where did you move from?" And I said, "Well, we moved from West Windsor." And he just said, "Why?"
Great.
But no, what happened was, you know, we were looking for a bigger house, basically.
Okay.
And my wife saw this ad in the Town Topics for our house, for that showed her the house.
The one you have now.
The one we have
now.
And she said, "You know, this looks great." And she said, "Well, why is the price is awfully reasonable?" So I said, "Why don't we take a look at it?" And we did. We came down on a Sunday for an open house. And she loved it.
It is a beautiful house. I've been there. Yeah. Beautiful house.
Yeah, she loved it. And she loved the neighborhood, Cat Heights.
Yeah, yeah. Cat Mulder Heights.
Yep. She loved the neighborhood. And we talked to a few people that we've subsequently become good friends with. You know, Kelly and Ray Ingram, you probably know
them. Yeah, yeah.
They were so welcoming and reassuring about it. And so we said, "Hey, let's do it."
And so you've been there now since when?
Since 2010.
Wow, 9 years.
9 years, yeah.
Wow.
And it's gone very quickly.
I can't believe I'm in Trenton longer than you. I'm here 16 years.
Wow.
I don't know. When I first met you, you just seemed like you've been here forever. I don't know what it is.
You I don't know how to take that, Frank.
Don't worry about it. I always take things as a compliment. I never know when someone's insulting me. I'm like, "Oh, how nice." Now, you live in Cadwalader Heights.
Yes.
Carolyn Stetson, who was just on the show, she's in Cadwalader Heights.
Oh, I see her regularly when she's walking her dog.
Oh, her dog, Bo.
Her dog, Bo, and I run in the park right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's quite a pistol, Carolyn.
Uh-huh.
And she's all about Cadwalader Heights. And that's great. I think it's great. You should be proud of your neighborhood and take part in your neighborhood and all that. What's Cadwalader Heights like as a neighborhood, in your opinion?
It's great. I think she's absolutely spot on. You know, it's a good place. The only thing that I would complain about, and it's relatively speaking not a major complaint, is that every time I go to the park, I wind up collecting a lot of litter. It just seems that you pick it up and the next day it's back out there somehow. But I think, you know, that's probably a common urban complaint.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't think it has historic designation, oddly enough.
Wow, Carolyn's house turns 100 this year.
Yeah, and my house is about 98.
Yeah, doesn't it have to be over 100 or something like that?
What I recall hearing, and I forget who told me this, but I recall a story that years ago, when the neighborhood as an association applied for historic status...
Right.
They couldn't reach a consensus for some reason. So it was never finished or voted on. That's what I
It just like faded away like smoke? Like no one ever...
Yeah, they didn't pursue it or something. I could be wrong. Yeah. I mean, it should be. You know, the neighborhood was, I'm sure you know, was designed by Olmsted Company. And the neighborhood and the park...
Who did Central Park. Absolutely.
Park. Yeah.
I was just thinking, Katie, your wife, who really liked that urban experience in New York, now has a little touch of that.
That's right.
With the creators of Cadwalader Heights, as far as the designers go.
Yeah.
Because they did Central Park.
Well, I think that's a good point, and it's a testament to how much she likes it and that she's willing to commute from Manhattan every day.
Oh, she commutes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep, from the Trenton train station.
I tell you what, we're like in the center of like this, we're 45 minutes from Philly.
Yep.
We're maybe an hour and a half from Manhattan.
Yeah.
We're right in the center. We got 5 train systems that run out of here.
Frank, I think it's a well-kept secret. I don't know why more people don't want to move to Trenton, take advantage of everything that's here. The potential is fantastic.
I'm going to agree with Anne Labatt says. Anne Labatt, who was on the show already, she says, "Trenton may not be for everyone, but it's always been good for revolutionaries." You know what I mean?
That's very
trendsetters,
good.
Pioneers, game changers, frontliners. You know, people who... It takes those kinds of people, I think, to make something happen.
Yeah.
I think we definitely have enough of them here, because my wife is like, "Oh, there's only, you know, there's it's the same 5 people who run Trenton, basically, who do everything."
I think it does attract entrepreneurs.
I totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree with that. Yeah. And here we are, two entrepreneurs talking about
this. Yeah.
Absolutely right. So painting and restoration, let's jump back to that because I've seen your work and your work is marvelous.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I had the privilege of shooting a video. Just put it in the mail. Don't give it to me here.
Okay.
I've had the privilege of shooting a video with you about your company and also a video from the barracks with Richard Patterson. It's funny, when we shot that video, I think you were concerned that you would have to memorize lines.
Take 55.
Right.
That was a good one. We'll just do one more.
Yeah, well, just in case. Like, oh, we're going to have to edit this guy big time. But you were so smooth on that video.
Oh,
you were just talking.
Oh, really?
It looked so natural.
Oh, thank you.
And it got a lot of views, I believe.
It did.
It got a lot of, what,
surprised
like 1,700, something like that?
A million, I think.
A million?
No.
I was going to check that out.
It got more than I expected.
I think it's because you come out just a regular guy who is good at what he does.
Oh,
and there's an instant, I can hang with this guy. I trust this guy. It's like a friend of mine. He just seemed very, very warm. And I think it's very important.
Well, you know what helped that, too, is that you guys were terrific directors. And I really, really liked that project. It was fun being there.
Yeah, working on the door.
Completely novel to be in this 18th century building. And, you know, a lot of it's been recreated. But the whole an 18th century place, history, American history.
The video we're talking about, you could actually see it if you go to TrentonWaves.com, click on guests, and then click on Andrew's picture. You could see his little web page there with all pictures and things. But the video that we're talking about is right there.
When we were working there, a funny story, that my crew, wonderful guys, they were asking me if they were ghosts.
Really?
Hiding there. And I said, no, there's no ghosts. But then on a lunch break, just as a prank.
What'd you do?
I was very tempted. I shouldn't have done it, but I couldn't help myself.
What'd you do?
There was a small drop cloth there that I put over my head. And as you know, in the headquarters, in the general headquarters, they have those hats. And I took one of the tri-corner hats and put it on my head and over the, I could barely see where I was going, but I put my arms out like the sleepwalker and I walked down the stairs.
You walked downstairs with this sheet on your head?
Very slowly. And the guys saw me and I just heard them cracking up. They were laughing hysterically. But I didn't do that with anybody on a ladder.
So, oh, okay. Sort of a heart there,
but,
I guess.
Yes.
That is definitely something. I'm glad, I'm kind of glad you did that because I would have been like, oh, come on, dude. Like, if you would say, I didn't do it. I don't want to scare. That would have been, very funny. Now I have a question. Now you put the sheet over your head with a tri-corner hat, walking down the stairs. Did the sheet have paint on it?
Probably, but a little. Too much.
Because even the ghosts aren't an exception to getting paint on them. That's great.
The ghost of painting company.
That is really funny. So a lot of people claim they have painting companies and restoration companies. What sets you apart? I've asked this question to Eric Maywar.
Yeah.
I said, there are other bookstores in the area, and I'm not picking on them, but, what makes yours the best? And he goes, oh, no, we're the best. I'm like, all right, I guess we're going to go with that. So not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Painting and restoration, you're not the only one.
Right.
But I would pick you over any of them. I just want to know, in your mind, what makes you different?
I think a couple things. And I know that it's a very competitive business and people have a lot of options when it comes to choosing a painter. I know that. What I try to do is to be completely upfront and honest with people. They ask me a question, I don't know the answer. I say, I don't know, but I'll try to find out. One thing that has helped a lot is that when people say, for example, they decide to paint the outside of their home, they've usually waited to the point where there's a lot of deferred maintenance issues, rotted trim and so forth.
Sure.
There's a couple days of repair that have to happen before you paint. So what I did was to hire a good carpenter team, and these guys used to be employees of mine. Now they're 1099 subs.
Oh, great.
But they do all the carpentry repairs, and George does all the repairs to the woodwork and masonry and everything that's needed, and then we do the painting. What we're able to offer the customer is that combination of work. The customer doesn't have to hire somebody else and coordinate everything, and I'm ultimately responsible for what the
sure.
equipment is. So I think it's an added convenience.
Absolutely. One of the things that you offer, which I thought was great when you said it, is that if you're doing a job for someone and maybe the person is on vacation or they're at work or they, you know, whatever, that you'll text them photos throughout the day and throughout the job right to their phone so they can actually see what's happening. I wish I had had that when my wife and I were restoring our house.
Yeah.
Because it was, the plumbers were working and they found a door behind this wall, which we now use as the side porch. But still, they said, we found this door, what do we do? And we were like, well, stop working, stop. You know, we were in Brick Township waiting for the house to be done. Until I can get back, now all this work wasn't happening because I didn't have the convenience of something like you would have. Here's a picture of it. What do you want me to do? I would have just been like, oh, okay, now that I see what it is, just, you know, continue, right?
Yeah.
Without harming the door. But we didn't have that. But today we do have that in this digital age.
Of course.
I think it's a great thing that you can be in touch with your client without having them to have to mess up their what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they can see what's happening.
We had a couple of situations like that just this past summer. You know, I can think of a customer that has a house on Linden Lane in Princeton. It's a beautiful old stucco house, but hadn't been painted in maybe 30 years.
Ooh.
He and his wife were going on vacation. I think they went to London. They didn't quite know what to expect
when
they got back. So every step along the way, I sent them phone pics of progress we were making, and they were very happy about it.
Sure. That. After 30 years, I would think there was probably a lot of repairs and something like that.
Well, there were a ton, and they rented to Princeton students.
Yeah. College kids living in your house.
But an amazing home that was designed by Stedman, I can't think of his first name.
Charles Stedman,
that's right. And the Stedman homes, there are only a few of them left, but they're really coveted. His style was sort of American Federal style, clapboard homes with crown moldings and pillars. And quintessential Princeton, Mercer Street and Stockton, that area.
Right.
Beautiful homes. It was very cool because according the story that Tom, the owner, said was that the house used to be across from MacArthur Theater. So it was literally dragged by horses and logs.
Well, that's how they moved it on logs?
Yeah, they put it on these.
Wow.
And they dragged it from MacArthur Theater to Linden Lane and
some houses in Trenton that's happened with as well that will move. And some historic houses.
Apparently that was a thing.
Yeah.
Back then.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Some of your biggest work. I know you worked at the barracks.
Yeah.
You did a lot of the restoration there. And you can see the restoration work done on the video on Andrew's webpage on TrentonWaves.com. Check that out. And that was wonderful work. I'll let people watch the video. But some of your biggest projects, other than the barracks, what would you say is?
One of the biggest ones that we did was right in my neighborhood, just right next door.
Right next door to your house?
Next door to my house, yeah. Russ Formidoni. His mother had lived there his family grew up there, and his mother had lived there. And the house was in pretty bad shape. It needed major restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Holes in the roof, water had been coming through multiple floors.
Wow.
Old plaster and lathe construction. My crew and I were there for 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was one of the biggest jobs we had. When we were done, the place was terrific. They couldn't sell it before then.
Oh, okay.
And after we did the work, the house got almost immediate offer. So we were happy about
that.
Wow,
that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
As a business owner, your company is like your baby, you know.
Yeah.
What are some of the most interesting or funny or scary or surprising things that have happened to you in business? Does any one story stand out in your mind? I'll never forget that.
One thing comes to mind. Do you remember the gentleman, John Nash?
Beautiful mind.
Russell Crowe. He was obviously, you know, renowned, brilliant mathematician at Princeton. I was called in to do some work at his house as a subcontractor.
Really?
And I got to meet him and talk to him casually. I didn't know it at the time, but he lived right around the corner from me when we lived in West Windsor. He lived right on Wallace Road, which is right across from Scott. Right perpendicular to Scott, where we used to live.
Yeah.
But he lived right across from the train there. And he and his wife, lovely people. What had happened was his son decided one day to burn old documents instead of having them shredded. He burned them in a utility sink in the basement, which caught the ceiling, the beams in the basement on fire. Yeah, so they had a big fire damage down there. So I was there. I was brought in as a sub to paint the charred basement ceiling. And they had repaired it, actually, and then we painted it. But I remember talking to John in the kitchen. Tragically, he was killed a few years ago in a car accident on Route 1.
Oh, that's how he died?
Yes, yes, yes. Terrible. But I had the pleasure of meeting him and talking to him. His home was a very old home, probably built turn of the century. And the basement was leaky. It was not a candidate for refinishing and restoring. He had asked me in the kitchen, he said, Andrew, do you think we should put in a finished basement down there with drywall and make it livable? And my first thought was, are you crazy? I didn't say that.
Did you offer him crackers?
I didn't say that. Given, you know, all things considered, I avoided that.
Exactly.
I really don't think so. I think you have too many water issues. He said, no, that makes sense, you know. But I was struck by what a regular guy he was.
Oh, yeah?
Very nice and
cool.
Very easy to talk to. And
it's kind of cool. You got to work for John Nash.
Yeah.
In your own company. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrific.
Now, years ago, the painting, the restoration, that was like a side interest. It was a side thing you were doing.
Yeah.
Today, it's not really a side interest or a hobby. It's like it's what you do.
That's right.
What are your side interests now today?
I have a passion for songwriting. I really enjoy it. Something I've been doing for many years, actually. You know, this time of year, for example, when work is slow, mm-hmm. I tend to gravitate to the music room and I write songs. For many years now, I've been a member of TAXI, which is a songwriting association.
And, oh, it's called TAXI?
It's called TAXI, yeah.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, the songwriter's vehicle, get it?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you write songs, that's it? You just write songs?
Yeah, I write songs. I play covers also, and I'm in a fledgling band.
So you sing?
Yeah, sing.
Okay, you know what? I got a confession to make. I already knew this. Okay. Podcastia, here's the thing. Andrew O'Connor, now it can be told.
Those true confessions.
In gearing up for this episode, yeah, I sent Andrew some things to listen to just to get the feel of the show, right? And he sends me back an MP3 of a Beatles cover. Now, I love the Beatles. Beatles is my favorite group. Check this out real quick. Listen to this. Dude, I can't believe that's you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You sound great.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank
You're like an onion. You're like so many layers to you. I peel something back, I discover something new.
And I used to be an astronaut.
You see, it never ends with you, Andrew. You're just a plethora of layers of character. You see, you're an artist. That's the thing. You're an artist. And that's the other thing. I don't know many artists that are musically inclined.
Really?
I know. I can't. My dream is to play the saxophone. Ah. Never played it. I don't know anything about musical notes or anything like that. I think the saxophone is like the closest thing to a human voice, mm-hmm. in my opinion, as far as an instrument goes.
You should try it.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well,
but first of all, I need a saxophone. It didn't stop you. Yeah, I would love to learn. I would love to just go somewhere and, like, you know, just jam or something. I don't know.
But I could see you playing the sax.
You can see me playing the sax?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Definitely, yeah. Tenor or alto?
I would think tenor.
Tenor.
Yeah.
Or baritone?
Well, my range is bass to tenor.
Yeah.
And I only know that because I used to do community theater.
Okay.
And that's what this musical director told me one day. She said, you're just in the tenor part. I'm like, really, tenor?
Your singing voice.
Yeah.
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 There you go.
Tenor sax. So there you go. So that's now you play the guitar, though.
Yeah.
So guitar, you write music, you sing. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome piece just now, the Beatles.
I like that song a lot. I took liberties with it. I slowed it down, slowed down the tempo.
More of a ballad now.
Dropped the key. Yeah, it was always about it, but I think he does it much faster tempo than I do it.
I just
really wanted to savor the melody. I think it's a beautiful melody.
Totally works. Now, you ever sing a cappella? You have a song you can come out with right now?
You know something?
You're blank.
No. I've been working on a song about Trenton.
What?
Yes, yes.
When is that coming out?
It's not ready for prime time yet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this podcast isn't prime time. It's like, this is late.
As soon as I have it, I'm going to share it with you.
Is that Trenton NJ?
Mm-hmm. And it really talks about, you know, how Trenton's coming back. It's a new day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I love the one you did based on It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, thank you.
That was great. The George Bailey.
Yeah, that's
it. Cassie, if you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life, there's something legitimately wrong. Okay, you need to go see. You need to see that movie. It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart, yeah.
Oh, movie.
It's that scene in Martini's Bar when Clarence has taken him back to the world that was without him.
Right, right. You
know, I love that scene.
That was a good scene. I say the best scene. Well, spoiler alert, really? It's a Wonderful Life? I have to give a spoiler alert? Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life,
everybody,
stop it now, or don't stop it, but don't be mad at me. They're all coming together, giving him money.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Sam Wainwright, like, takes care of the whole bill.
Yeah.
So no one has to now be without their money.
Yeah.
That whole scene. It's actually my wife's favorite scene in that movie.
Okay, yeah.
When they all come together at the end.
Yeah.
That's cool stuff.
I was going to write a song about Ewing. What are you doing in Ewing? But that's it. Decided not to do it.
What are you thinking, moving to Hamilton? Ewing is West Trenton, really.
Yes.
Think about it.
That's right.
Right? I mean,
right.
West Trenton Hardware is in Ewing.
Yeah, I mean, parts of Ewing are very rural. You know, they're deer and...
Yes.
You know, it's woodsy and...
That is true.
Farms and...
I like that title because it leads me into something I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
What does your dream Trenton look like?
It looks like a place that's a great option for somebody who wants to start a business, raise a family, a home base that provides both a good place for a business and a good place for a family. It's wide open for what you can do with it if you have a creative mind and you see the opportunity, see the potential.
Absolutely. Andrew, it was an awesome, awesome, awesome pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
Where can people see you, get to know you, and be a part of the experience that is Andrew O'Connor?
Well, we have a website, oconnorpainting.com. And we're always around. My van doors are open.
That does not sound right.
No, it doesn't, does
it? My van doors are open.
The work van, that is.
There you go. That's great. Now it's O'Connor with an O.
That's right.
No E's in O'Connor. It's all O's.
O-R, that's right.
So
that's
O-C-O-N-N-O-R, painting.com.
Right.
Check them out. And also check out TrentonWaves.com. Click on guests. Click on Andrew's picture. You'll see a picture of me and Andrew there. Click on that, and you get some other goodies. And there'll be a link to his website there as well.
Thank you, Frank. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. You're welcome, my man. This has been Trenton Waves. Sasso out.
Working people that came to see. They knew the city was the place to be. The whole world takes what the city makes. That's what the people say in Trenton and Jay. Trenton and Jay. LA is a great place to play. Don't really know, but that's what they say. The whole world takes what the city makes. That's what the people say in Trenton and Jay. Hey, hey. We're proud to live in an American town. What the city makes, that's what the people say. Trenton and Jay. Hey, hey. The whole world takes the city makes. That's what the people say. In Trenton and Jay. In Trenton and Jay. Hey, hey. In Trenton and Jay.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.